Every day, 130 Americans die from opioid overdose.
Some of us are in invisible prisons today, even as we try to appear free.
Sales of alcoholic beverages are up 55% compared to a year ago.
I believe God's going to set you free.
Welcome, guys, back to the Recovering Reality Podcast. It's been a minute. Gosh, might even be a month now. I haven't released a podcast. Didn't forget about you guys. I love doing this and we're going to dive back into it. I'm going to do some things different though, including putting out videos, putting these out on video. And also just a whole bunch of new stuff that we're doing. You know, during this time, been very busy, knocked out a devotional that's going to be on YouVersion, Freedom from Addiction. It's going to be up soon. And also finishing editing my book. It's just a lot of work, but getting that done as well. It will be done sooner than later. It's in the finishing stages. A new course, coaching, 8 week. It's an 8 week coaching program. I'm going to be taking people through and just been seeing people's lives transform for years, work with hundreds of people and just putting it all together in an 8 week coaching package, to start people on. That I start working with. So in the midst of doing all that, of course, I've been working with all my clients, which is, you know, I just love, and we'll keep doing that one-on-one and putting together just some new content, new products, just to help. We want to see people's lives transformed. So I want to see an army raised up of healed and healthy people that are out there carrying the message to the next person. And it's awesome. Also just going to have a little ebook come out. Probably sometime, honestly, in the next couple of weeks, just a short one, 4 or 5 pages, just zeroed in on motivation, how to stay motivated. What's a practical way, other than just like, let's wake up every day and watch a new motivational video. That could be cool. Sometimes I do it too. I'm talking about like, what's the mindsets, tips and stuff? Like, well, what's the perspectives and what's the practical action to really learn how to stay motivated as a lifestyle? I'm going to have a new little product out on that sometime soon that a company, a nonprofit hired me to create for them. So it's good. A lot of good stuff going on. I love it. Love what I do and want to just continue to help as many people as possible and build and grow, multiply. And let's just see more people set free, healed, whole, walking in power and love, transforming the world around them. I want to dive into a specific topic today, covered from a couple of different angles, and just hopefully get you looking at some things from a different angle, from a different perspective here. And I just hope it challenges you in a very encouraging and all the right ways. I mean that genuinely. But nonetheless, I see many people trip up on this, and I think it's something we all kind of got to process ourselves, but it's an important topic. So without further ado, let's dive right in, shall we? Now, one of the things that I've seen many times is that people, often what they will do is just because they haven't seen God do something means that they have a really hard time believing when it's him, when he shows up and does something new. But God shows up in their life in a way and is like, and the response is, I don't know if that was God. I haven't seen that before. It's not in the Bible. Or, I don't know. The person he did it through wasn't perfect. As if anybody is. And I just think that's why it's of the utmost importance to know God's character, his ways, his presence, and his nature so that we can discern when it's him doing something or when he's in the middle, you can see him in the middle of doing something and through an imperfect person, but you can spot God's ways and character in the midst of it. This stuff's, it's an important one to process. And I'm gonna dive into it with a Bible story, a story from my own life, some stuff going on in culture right now, because I just think that it's important that we're able to spot God right now in culture and in society, because I believe we're in a season of Goliath's falling. Now, I have actually put out some prophetic words on my website about this, and I've been talking with friends about this, and a lot of other prophets just put stuff out on this, talking about this, but I think it's already started. And I think we're going to see a lot more of it. And I'll highlight some of that here in a bit too, but I want to start with a story from my own personal life. So early on in my recovery journey, I was in California, a place, you know, I was by myself out there. I had like some cousins and knew like one lady who's just awesome, still very good friends with her and her husband all these years later, over 13 years later. But I was out there just struggling. I remember I was out there for a couple of months, relapsed, and found myself in like this just run down, nasty, sober living home, just trying, hanging on by a thread, right? And about a week and a half after being there, like can't find a job, just defeated, no money, begging money from my sister to pay for the weekly rent, this little garbage, just garbage sober living home where people weren't even really sober, to be honest. And I'm there a week and a half in, and out of nowhere, in the middle of a storm, middle of a big storm in my life, out of nowhere, my friend, who I just mentioned, her name is Eileen, actually, Eileen and Darren, gives me a call and offers me to come stay at her house. I was in Orange County at the time. They lived about 45 minutes south in Oceanside, and offered me to come stay at their house for 2 weeks while her and her boyfriend at the time were out of town, and I'm like 10 days sober. I was like, I had never seen that in my life. I had never seen anybody just say, hey, come stay at our house, you know, nice 3-bedroom house, like 10 minutes from the beach in San Diego. Just come stay at our house. You're, you know, 10 days sober, 13 years deep into crazy drug and alcohol addiction, and you're trying to get clean and sober, relapse, and just come stay at our house. And, you know, she said, I told her on the phone, I said, you know, I'm 10 days sober, right? Like, I wanted to emphasize that, like, you know that, like, I'm in a tough spot here, right? She said, yeah, no, you called and told me you did, and I know. And if you stay clean and sober, then we'll talk about you renting a room when we get back. And if you don't, then when we get back, you got to go. Now, I had never seen God do that before, but just because I hadn't seen him do it in my life doesn't mean it wasn't him. You know, I could have sat there and been like, well, this isn't God. There's some ulterior motive here. I mean, honestly, I didn't even know God well enough. Honestly, I didn't even think twice. I was just like, yeah, I'm coming now. But I could look back now and, you know, be like, it would have been easy. It's not God, like, setting me up for failure here. I can't go into that situation by myself for 2 weeks. I'll just go get drunk, or, you know, I barely know these people. I can't go there, you know. But it's like, just because I hadn't seen God do something like that in my life before doesn't mean it's not him doing it. And the closer we get to God, the more we're able to spot that. We want to be able to see God's character, nature, and his ways. We want to be able to discern his presence and his character in the midst of things, because he uses imperfect people to accomplish his tasks. You know, if God could only get his plans done through perfect people, guess what? He'd get nothing done. Nothing. Okay? He uses people, us. That's not an excuse for us to do what we want. I'm not alluding to that. We're all, you know, I would hope and believe, you know, look for the good in people. And like, we're all trying to get better, you know, well, not everyone, but the people we surround ourselves with should. We're trying to get better. We're leaning more in, but it's like in the midst of that, it's like, wait, I don't know. I haven't arrived yet. Have you? But when we can discern his ways, his presence, his voice, his character, when we can see that, we're able to spot him in the midst of that. I had never seen God do that in my life before. But I can look back now and be like, that's definitely him. He wasn't setting me up for failure. He was setting me up for success. And that was a Goliath, so to speak, getting slain in my life, because I was done. I was like, I had no more money. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was trying to find a job. I was defeated. And just boom, a Goliath was slain in my life. And I had a place to live, moved in with them. They let me live there for like 2 months for free before I started paying them rent. Found a job, lived there for 2 years. They're still friends of mine. They just came to my house in Florida. That was, a month or two ago. They just were here, came, spent a night. Didn't even stay the night. They travel around the country now in this awesome RV thing. Anyways, let me tie that into a story from the Bible and just highlight a few things here, okay? And then I'll end with just talking a little bit about, like, it's really important that we keep our eye on what God's doing right now, okay? Matthew 14:22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So God sent them to the other side of the lake. Mark that, okay? And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So the wind's blowing against them. It's kicked up a storm. And God's the one that sent them in to the middle of that? What's that about? Verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. I love how Matthew, ex-tax collector, just casually weaves that in. And God went to them, just walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. I would have done the same. I'm sure I would have done the same. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Look, the disciples, God sent them across. They're in the middle of the lake. And the disciples are seeing something, are seeing God do something that they've never seen before. And their initial response is, "It's a ghost." Now, that word ghost, you look it up in the Greek, ancient Greek is what the New Testament is translated from. Phantasma, I think that's how you pronounce that. That's the ancient Greek word. It's where we get our English word for the word phantom. All right. The definition of the word means, here's apparition. Okay, an unusual or unexpected sight, phenomenon, strange apparitions in the sky, or a ghostly figure, like a ghostly figure being reported seen in an old house. So they're not saying it's a demon. Okay, this word's only used twice in the Bible. Technically, you could say once, it's used twice, but for the same story, Mark 6 and Matthew 14, both times used for the same story. But what they're saying is that's a spirit from the spirit realm. That's not God. They're not saying, it's not a word used for demon. I want to clarify that. But it is a word, and the definition of it means that's a spirit. That's from the spirit realm, and it's not God. While they're, and it is God, and they're watching him do something they've never seen before. I want to emphasize that. How many times have we seen God do something, and at first we say, that's not God, simply because we've never seen him do it? Think of the audacity that takes. To think that you've seen everything that God can do. I don't think that we necessarily have that thought. People have that thought in their mind, like, I've seen everything God can do, therefore that's not him. I think it's subconscious a lot of the time, but it's like, man, that takes a wild amount of audacity to say, that's not God. Because what it is you are saying, whether we realize it or not, is that I know everything God does, and that's not God. It's like, man, it was God. It was. And they didn't think it was simply because they hadn't seen him do it. When they had already seen him do a whole bunch of stuff that they'd never seen done. Like the dead raised and the sick healed and food multiplied and all the way down the line. Okay. And I get it. You know, I love to tie this stuff in because I don't think enough people understand it. But think about it. They're in the boat there. They see that, boom, immediately adrenaline is pumping through your body, enlarging the pupils, increasing blood pressure, heart rate, redistributing blood to the muscles and altering the body's metabolism. It maximizes the blood glucose levels, literally gets sugar pumping through your body. It's like primarily for the brain, all right? Immediately, it's like we're heightened, tuned in, sense, like on alert. And dopamine as well. Dopamine's a neurotransmitter produced in the small region of the brain that helps you feel pleasure. It's an important part of your reward system. It's immediately what Peter engages with. His very next step is like, I want to see this. I want to do that, which is a strange response. Let me read it, okay? Matthew 14, 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Look, we just read through the Bible sometimes. On to the next story, check it off the list. I read the Bible. We've all done it, okay? But I just think it's we're doing ourselves a disservice when we do that. I think it's good to slow down and ask questions. Because I got a question right here. And my question is, what kind of response is that? Lord, if it's you, command me. You see God walking on water. Basically, you're like, if that's really you, God, then then let me walk on water. Prove it by letting me walk on water. That's a crazy response. I don't know. That just catches my attention. That's a wild response. And Matthew 14, 29, next verse. So he said, Jesus, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Those that know the story, I think, brush over this and they just think about the next part that happens. But let's remember, Peter did walk on water. He did. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. It's interesting to me, you know, Peter's natural response from being around God in the flesh was to say, if it's you, empower me to do something impossible. If it's you, empower me to do what you're doing. Something happens in a follower of Jesus when they spend time with him. There's a development. They develop an appetite for the impossible. When we allow him to come live inside of us, it just can't be religion, this normal, boring routine as usual. We're talking about the one that walks on water here. We're talking about the one that raises the dead. We're talking about the one that multiplies food, that casts out demons, that took on the weight of sin, death, the grave, went to hell, got the keys 3 days later, was resurrected, and has ever since been multiplying and reminding the enemy that he's a defeated, sore loser. Something happens when you get close to God, the real Jesus. You cannot not develop an appetite for the impossible. The disciples had been seeing God do things that they had not seen him do for a long time, that they never seen God do. Dead raised, healed, saved, delivered, food multiplied, walking on water, the wisdom and the authority, going toe-to-toe with the Pharisees and putting them in checkmate every time. They tried to trap him. They tried to trick him. They tried to throw him off a cliff one time, and it says he kind of just like disappeared into the crowd and just poof, just weaved his way through, was gone. they were plotting to kill him, and he knew it long before. He just put him in checkmate every time. They'd never seen that. They'd never seen it before. Let me give you some tips to being able to discern, to see God in a situation. All right. One of the big ones, strange in our society. You know, I've spent time in primarily Mexico, and you go down there and you don't need to convince that culture of the supernatural. You know, I've seen people pop right out of a wheelchair, start walking, completely healed. I got pictures of it. On the streets of Mexico, in the red light district streets of Mexico, people just radical healings, broken bones put back into place, prostitutes' lives radically transformed, and them a completely different person after spending time with Jesus. Just these crazy things. But in other countries, the dark supernatural powers are operating a bit more blatantly and out in the open. So having conversations with them and saying things like, can I pray for you? I believe God wants to heal you. Let's pray for this spiritual freedom, whatever we want to call it, deliverance really. But yeah, they're like, yeah, they believe, they're on board with it. In this country, we're intensely intellectual. This country, it's all about medicine. In this country, we pray, but you know, God doesn't work like that. And I know there's more and more believers who do believe that and are living into it, but there's also a lot who just they turn to the ways of man to accomplish their problems. And then if all else fails, they kind of desperately cry out to God, like maybe he'll do it. God is a God of power. He is supernatural. The more we can understand it and engage and pursue it, the more it develops in our life. But I have experienced and seen, not everybody, but there's just a resistance to the supernatural with some people. And I think we're coming into a time period where those who are followed, not people who just go to church. A lot of people just go to church. I'm talking about real believers in the business realm, in the marketplace. They are understanding the power of God and the supernatural and stepping into it and living in this space. There's a very real God who wants to do very real and powerful miracles through real people like you and like me. So I start there by just saying, I want to, before I just talk about a couple of things in society, I want to just say like some key things that I believe will help you discern God in the moment. All right. And we'll just start by saying, know the word. You know, when we read the Bible, it's like we're reading it to know God, not know the Bible. Like, I want to know what the Bible says. Okay. Don't take what I'm saying out of context, but I'm not reading it to memorize words on a page. I'm reading it to get to know the author. And think through this, okay? I'm going to say something, probably challenge a lot of people. It's like, look, not all of God is contained in the Bible, but all of the Bible is contained in God. If we think that everything God's capable of, he already did, and it has to be in that book, no, he's unlimited. He has been doing and will continue to do things that are not in the Bible. Now, that being said, the Bible is the word of God, okay? And when we see God doing things, it should line up with his character, with his nature, and it should be destroying things that are of death, loss, and destruction, and it should be enhancing life and life more abundantly. So we want to be able to spot when he's doing things and spot his character and his presence, okay? I read the word every day. I want to get to know the word more and more, okay? But God is not limited by, well, if it's him, then he's done it in the Bible. I'm not buying it. He's way bigger. He's way better. He's just bigger and more unlimited than that. The things that we see, though, should line up with his character and his nature that's in the Bible. I'll give you an example. This is supernatural, and that is what it is. I'll just share it. So when my wife and I were living in Utah, we were there for, we were there for almost a year. And we just would always be worshiping. And we had meetings in our house and saw a lot of people healed. And we were there, and I lived there for a while. And I've just seen a lot of the people in the Mormon church are hungry for something more. And it's a lot of them just leaving the Mormon religion, but wanting more of Jesus, the real thing. So anyways, we were just constantly doing that work there and pursuing that in our house and worshiping. And we, over the course of a year, collected, we still have the jar, okay? We collected 14 different kinds of feathers, shapes, sizes, texture. Now, I cannot emphasize this enough. We didn't have one single item in our entire, it was a basement apartment. We didn't have one single item in our basement apartment that had feathers in it. Not one. Not a single one. Not a pillow, not a blanket, nothing. And 14 different, I've seen feathers just poof, appear like in front of my eyes, poof. We saved them all, still have them. And still see it sometimes. Now you can say, well, I've never seen that before. That's clearly not God. You're crazy, like whatever. That's okay. I realize what I'm saying challenges people. I'm not too worried about it. But we get to this place where we just see, I haven't seen God do that. That's not God. That's not in the Bible. Well, I don't know where all those came from. Well, I believe pretty strongly what it is just his world breaking into ours. Those feathers are just angels. The Bible's clear about that. Psalm 91 says we're covered under his feathers, under his wings. So I'm not going to claim that I could give you the perfect definition. Well, this happened because of that and that because of this. And I don't know, but I know I'm not the only one that's experienced testimonies like that and things like that. I'm not saying it's isolated to me because I know a lot of people actually have shared stuff like that. I'm just simply saying the closer we get to him, the real Jesus, I really want to get to know the real you. I want the real one living inside of me. I want to see his real power and his real love flowing through me. You might see some things you've never seen before, okay? And just because it's not in the Bible, you haven't seen it before, doesn't mean it's not God at work. I want to be able to spot when it's Him discerning His nature, His ways, His presence, His grace, and His goodness in the midst of things. Another thing I would say is, you know His presence and voice. When we know His presence and His voice, we can discern His ways and actions. And it's the renewed mind that enables us to do that. I would encourage you to dig into Romans 12, 2 on that one. I'll share this story real quick. I put this story in my my book that's coming out. But you know, I heard God's audible voice one time. And the story's in the book. Just a plug for you to get it when it comes out. But the story's in there. But the way he said it, he said, I won't tell the whole story, but I was in a spot where I didn't have any money and I was deciding if I should go somewhere to spend time with family. And I was praying about it and I heard an audible whisper in my ear and it said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And so I'd never seen that. I'd never heard that. The audible voice of God is in the Bible, but you know, the exact specifics of how it happened, that story is not in the Bible. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, I remember, and I went not really knowing how I was going to get back. I was going on a promise from an audible voice and I went. And when I got there, I was given a bunch of money. There's stories like that in the Word, you know, but that everything with that lines up with His character and His nature. So when He shows up, just because we haven't seen Him do something or just because we haven't heard it, doesn't mean it's not Him. Does it line up with who He is? Does it line up with His character, His powers, love, His nature? That's what we're looking for. Let me share a couple of things that I think. Are going on in society to really keep an eye out for. Okay, there's Goliath fallen. All right, all around us. Netflix just tanked hard. Oh my goodness, they're laying off employees right now. Literally, look it up. The date you see this out, look it up. They're laying off employees. The Goliath of Netflix, which I believe just puts out so much poison into the minds of people. It's unbelievable. We canceled ours. It's garbage for the mind. Garbage. They tried simultaneously as they put out a show about how men can get pregnant. I don't know if this exact, I think their stock tanked 30%. They lost like, I don't remember how many subscribers in one single month in court. Like they just had an unbelievably bad quarter that they're laying off tons of employees. Disney's a massive Goliath. Look, anyone listening could have whatever opinions they want, but when you're pumping people's minds, polluting them, it is affecting things in society in a crazy powerful way. I don't think we really get it all the time, but Disney just lost tens of thousands. I think it was over 100,000 Disney Plus subscribers. Disney in Florida just lost their sovereignty, their tax exempt status. It's something, don't quote me. It's something like that. If you look it up, and I think it kicks in 2023, but that could do them in for real. They're going to start paying taxes on everything on top of how much money they've already been losing. You're going to see Disney fall. Somebody's hard to wrap your head around that. You're going to see Disney fall. And it is because they have an agenda to pollute the minds of children and people. And God's like, I've had enough. I've had enough. You think you're above me? I've had enough. Just because it's not a pastor or a perfect missionary or whatever, you know, the perfect person that is maybe weaving in there and taking them down, you know, with them, it's a lot of their own actions that took them down, doesn't mean God's not right in the middle of it doing it. Another Goliath that's going to fall, the Dixie, the DXY, the dollar index, which measures the strength of the dollar to other currencies in the world. It is redlining, absolutely parabolic right now. And it is currently, as I am exactly recording this, at a dollar 1037 on May 9th, 2022. That thing is so overextended. You are going to see the DXY, a Goliath, the Ponzi scheme of the dollar and the banking system and all of this inflation, you are going to see the DXY crash. It is a Goliath that is going to fall. Just because we haven't seen God do something like that, the dollar's crashed in the past, but I think it's going to crash more than 30% at least, I think. I believe that's what it's going to be. A Goliath falling, that the dollar, the almighty dollar, the people who worship the dollar, that thing is going to come crashing down. Let me add another one in there. Okay. I also believe in the midst of that thing crashing down that we are going to see many, many, many people become very resourceful and partner with God in wisdom. And in a time of everything crashing, you're going to see a wealth transfer and you're going to see a lot of people actually raise up and be given an incredible amount of wealth. People who have society's best interest in mind, people who know God, some people who just want to see good, that maybe don't know God, but God uses them. But in the midst of all that crash, you're going to see actually a lot of people step into a lot of wealth and use it for a lot of good. The thing I would say, how about Roe versus Wade? There's a Goliath coming down. We'll see how that plays out. Did you ever see you would think that in your lifetime? We can make the argument again. Yeah, but it's not happening perfect the way I would think. And well, I don't think that's God. That's just the courts. And it's like, it's easy to see it and just come up with all the reasons why it's not. But God's right in the middle of it. Death, loss, and destruction is of the enemy, John 10:10, but life and life more abundantly. That's Jesus's mission, life. And I'll end with this one too, you know, Twitter and Elon Musk. So Sean Bowles has some good stuff on this as he's talking about Twitter and Elon Musk. Now, just because God's using someone that doesn't know him and that isn't perfect, and that probably has hidden motives and agendas of what he's doing, doesn't mean God's not in it using this individual in some ways. I don't think Elon Musk is pro. I don't think he's, you know, best friends with conservatives. I think he's got his own agenda in the midst of all of this. And we'll see. He's not a believer. And I don't think that's his intentions here. But even in the midst of all of that, it looks like he is going to be very pro freedom of speech on a platform that is overrun with it's just disgusting. Most people don't even realize, like, I think it's 15%. I could be wrong. I would encourage you to look it up yourself, but I think it's 15%. I think it's 15% of the accounts on Twitter are bots. Look it up for yourself and don't quote me on that, but I think it's something like that. These are bots that are not real people that operate on an algorithm, and the whole algorithm weaved into their whole existence is to create arguments. It is to comment on posts. In the algorithm is created to get them to comment like it's a real person in a way that will get people to engage and argue, and they'll carry it out forever. Elon Musk look it up. He talks about it. He says, we're going to weed out all the bots. We're going to get rid of all the bots. There's so many people who spend so much time arguing on Twitter. They don't even realize they're arguing with a bot that's programmed in an algorithm. It's not even a person. It's crazy. I don't believe Elon Musk is some perfectly righteous person here. Okay. I'm sure he's got some skeletons in the closet too, but I do believe that it's somewhere in the middle of that God is using it to bring about some of his purposes. And just because we haven't seen him do it before doesn't mean it's not him. But let me end with this. In your own personal life right now, with what is going on, there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world. There's a lot of people just in tight spots, stuff going on. I get it. This is one of those time periods where the history books are going to be filled about. We're living in a time period right now where, and I don't think this little window, this time period's over, okay? There's still more to come, but we're living in a time period right now that they're going to write about in history, okay? We're in a crazy, crazy time period right now. And there's nobody unaffected by it. Excuse me, in some way, shape, or form. I just say that to say, like, whatever it is you're facing in your life, partner with God. He has a plan. He has a strategy. And he has a purpose. He has a way for you to live in a way where you're still thriving in the midst of all of this. He may show up in a way you've never seen before, but can you spot his character and his nature and his ways in the midst of it? Can you spot his, can you sense his presence and hear his voice in the middle of whatever it is, whoever the person is that comes with the opportunity, whatever the situation is that presents itself, the idea that you get? It's like, I've never seen anyone do that. I've never seen God show up in my life like this, however it is. I mean, I shared some examples. But just because there's an opportunity, a person, or something pops up in your life that you've never seen before and is outside the box, doesn't mean it's not God. Look for his character, look for his presence, his voice, his nature, and his ways in the midst of it. We're entering a time period where you're going to see more Goliaths fall. The closer you can stay to God, it's like staying in the eye of a storm. Look up on YouTube videos of people who are in the eye of a hurricane. It's wild, okay? Talking about a massive hurricane. I think hurricanes are measured F1 to F5. That might be tornadoes, or maybe it's both. I think it's F5 is the biggest hurricane, I believe. I've seen videos of people in like an F4 hurricane. And we're talking hurricanes that come through and destroy a city. I've seen videos of people standing in the eye of a hurricane. It's bizarre. It is so bizarre. It's like this, yeah, it's still kind of windy in there and, you know, rain, whatnot, but it's like, it's strangely peaceful in the middle of a storm that is destroying everything in its path. That's what it's like when you remain close to Jesus in the midst of all this wildness, like you're in the eye of the storm, right in the middle, and everything's getting destroyed and all this craziness is going on, but it's like this, I'm oddly at peace right now because we're in the eye of the storm. And I believe we're going into a season where you're going to see Goliaths fall in your personal life in ways you've never seen before. Even the story of Goliath, had anybody in the history ever seen a teenage shepherd knock out a Goliath that entire armies are afraid of with a sling and a stone? Well, that's not God. I haven't seen him do it before. No, that was God. That was God. I believe that you're going to see it in your own personal life in this next season. And I believe we're going to see even bigger, crazier things in society. Goliaths fall. Don't write it off just because you haven't seen God do it that way before, or it's not done by someone who is a spitting image of Jesus. He's at work. Look for his presence, listen for his voice, discern his character, and discern his ways. Thanks for joining us, guys, on the Recovering Reality Podcast. If you or a loved one is struggling in addiction or in your recovery, please reach out, guys. Get the support and the help that you need. You can reach us at info@recoveringreality.com. This gets you the help that you need so you can get your life back. And guys, you can jump over to the website, tons of free content to help you walk out your recovery in a healthier, happier way. We are also training and equipping, certifying recovery coaches and launching them into the marketplace to help more people recover from this disease of addiction. Thanks for joining, guys. Catch you on the next podcast.